verses 1 through 6. Everybody has it? You ready? Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Let us pray. Father, speak to us through your word today. May it transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Seeing others correctly. That is what we want to focus on. And it's so important that we see others correctly. And we can only see others correctly when we first see God correctly in who he is and who we are in him. And we're able to not only have, we should have God's perspective and God's vision about people. We should see people the way God sees people. And I believe that one thing that has really hurt the body of Christ in some ways is true, that we have become very judgmental. In some areas it is true. We're almost quick to point out people's faults, failures, and we do it so aimlessly or effortlessly that it's sad. And one thing that has really helped spawn us to be more judgmental and to be so quick to be critical, and I hate to say this, is social media. Social media is not a bad thing, it's just that when bad people get on it. And we start doing things or espousing things or saying things that really, something that we think about should not be typed out. And if we would use that mindset that what I'm thinking, should I really log on to Facebook and type this out and hit post? So everything that we think shouldn't be put on Facebook, but I think what has happened to us in our lives is that we have begun to think that our opinion is so important that everybody wants to hear it. No, I mean, that's true. We would think that we're so smarter, we have such an opinion that I feel like everybody wants to hear my opinion. They really don't. And your opinion really, most of the time, doesn't really matter. And this is my advice to you, that everything that you think shouldn't be on Facebook or shouldn't be on Twitter. How you feel shouldn't always be on, you know, everybody shouldn't know that. I feel bad today. Well, okay. That has to go on Twitter or Facebook. But I just think that as Christians, here's why I think should characterize us, and I put it on your sermon outline. I believe that disciples of Jesus Christ should not be characterized by judgmental attitudes, but by compassionate hearts. Disciples of Jesus Christ should not be characterized by judgmental attitudes, but by compassionate hearts. When people see us, do they see us being compassionate or very harsh, judgmental, and just mean to people? So we need to look at ourselves and say, how do people view me, or how does things look when I may put that on Facebook or Twitter? What does that look like? And I think we start filtering what we say and how we do things through the lens of Scripture and through the attitude of Christ, it may help us in ways, more ways than one. Well, Jesus had this issue that was happening with the Pharisees. They were very judgmental and critical of people. Now, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of that day. They were the ones that everyone looked to for leadership, for teaching, and how to live their lives. And the Pharisees came out of this religious group that really wanted to obey God's word. They wanted to live separate from the culture, from the Roman culture, and to the point where they began to just get so in tune to obeying God that they had a rule for everything. And they became so in tune to trying to obey God that it became almost legalistic. and they would tell you how far you could walk on the Sabbath, how much you could carry. You can't walk a mile, you can walk half a mile. You know, it became that point. And do you know that when you read the Gospels, the Pharisees were always on Jesus for what? In their mind, he was breaking the Sabbath. A guy would be blind, and he would heal him and say, Jesus, you can't do that on the Sabbath. Do it the next day. You cannot heal this guy on this day. That's work. And God's more concerned about you not working than about you healing this blind man. They would always be on Jesus about breaking the Sabbath. And he said, you have missed the whole point of why Jesus gave the Sabbath. He gave the Sabbath for man to rest. And they became very legalistic. And if we're not careful, as believers, we can become legalistic and not even know it. God can save us out of a harsh lifestyle, a harsh background, and we can get so focused on God and so focused on living right, then what we begin to do, we begin to point out other people's sins. And we only been saved a day. We've been saved just a day, and we went back and we talked to them, you shouldn't be doing that. And you just finished doing it last night. But you just got saved, and you know, okay, now you become that type of moral police in people's lives. And Jesus was about loving people, not about trying to control people or to manipulate people. So what Jesus is saying to us, and he was really using the Pharisees as a backdrop, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't become the moral police. Don't begin to see that God's more about rules than a relationship. God's about a relationship. And so telling us to do is this. Point one, stop criticizing others. Stop criticizing others. When we become so legalistic, we begin to criticize other people. And that's what it means when he says, judge not that you be not judged. Now that word judge, it can be used to analyze, to evaluate. Also can be used to criticize or to condemn. Now, Jesus is using this word in a negative context. He says, do not condemn or be overly critical of other people. That's what he's saying. He is not saying don't evaluate or don't analyze situations. Because God wants us to make some type of judgment on things. It would be wrong for a guy to murder someone, stand before the judge, and he tell the judge, listen, I know I killed somebody, but judge not lest you be judged. Now, would that make any sense? Because now what we cannot judge is people's motivation for why they do something. But we can and we should judge actions, what you do. Like, for instance, we should make a judgment and we should say that when those militant ISIS people beheaded those 21 Christians, that was evil. Their action was evil. To behead people on national television and the video and to videotape it and to cut their heads off, that was evil. Wouldn't you say that's evil? But it would be wrong if I say that the ISIS people said to me, listen, judge not lest you be judged. Well, me cutting their heads off had nothing to do with you. You would say, wait a minute, that's evil. We made a judgment. And God wants us to make judgment based on actions. But what he's saying here, we should not be overly critical of other people, and that happens when we so focus on other people's lives and not our own. Now, I was reading a book by Larry Osborne, and it's called Accidental Pharisees. It's that the Pharisees did not start out being Pharisees. They had good intentions. Their goal was to not let idolatry creep into Israel, because you know when you read the Old Testament, the reason why God began to punish Israel is because they began to go after other gods. And so the Pharisees became this sect of people to obey God's word and to not let idolatry come into Israel, because they didn't want God's wrath to come on them again. But they became so focused on keeping idolatry out that they themselves began to come up with their own form of religion. They became strict, and they began to watch people so closely and say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, you should do this. And so they became the moral police. And now what Jesus said, they begin to put more burdens on people than to free people to live for God. And I believe that Christianity frees you. It doesn't make you more burdened. Christianity frees you to live for God. So we have to stop criticizing others. And as Christians, we know that God forgives us, God loves us. And so we should look to people and say, listen, God loves you, God cares for you. No matter what you've done, God wants to set you free. And that's what we should be known for, loving people and have compassionate hearts. And now, why should we have compassionate hearts on people? Because we once were those people. We once were the people now that we're saying, look at those people. But those people used to be us. That person was you. That loved one who's not saved, who don't know Jesus, that once was you. So we're to have compassion and pray for that person, not condemn that person, not criticize that person, but to love. So Christians, don't be overly critical. Now, the reason why we become very overly critical and the reason why the Pharisees were, because they had a problem. Now, Larry Osborne talked about this problem. He called it, there's a symptom, it's called log-eyed disease. Because Jesus said that how can you see the speck in your brother's eye when you got a log in your eye? Log-eyed disease. It's very common. Many of us maybe have suffered from it. Many of us maybe having it right now. Some marriages have log-eyed disease. Some couples have log-eyed disease. And so it's very important. Now I'm going to show you how it looks. I'm going to show you an example of how it looks. Help you out. Like it's right here. This log. It's like me talking to you. This is my eye. And I'm walking around talking, and I say, now come here, Cynthia. Come here. Come here, sis, for a second. You come here. Don't come too close because I might hurt you. Come a little closer. Now, right there. Now, I'm up in here trying to help Cynthia get a log out of her. I say, hey, sis, come in. How you doing? I'm swinging it around and doing all this. She's all right, too. Now, she's ducking and dodging because I'm going to hurt her, and I'm trying to help her. Now, if I got this log in my eye, I really can't see Cynthia as I should see her, right? I can't, because my vision is blurred of her. So many people, thank you, sis. So many people walk around with log-eyed disease. They got this sticking out their eye. But they don't know it. And they think they're helping people, but they're actually hurting people. Some of you hurt your family, your friends, your associates, because you have log-eyed disease. And you're trying to help them. And you're talking to them. You're telling them about Jesus. And you say, man, you need to come to Jesus, brother. You need to get right with God. You understand me? Man, this is kind of annoying, isn't it? They're like, dude, get out of my face, right? See what happens? That's called log-eyed disease. So I'm going to help you get rid of this log in your eye. Now, anybody want this log? No. Now, what does log-eyed disease look like? Here's what it is. You focus more on the faults of others. That's log-eyed disease. You focus more on the faults of others. You are good at what someone else has done wrong. You can quote it to a T. You can say, you did, he or she did this to me, they hurt me, I can't believe they did that to me, and I'm sad about this, I'm hurt. It's log-eyed disease. Because you can quote everything that they've done to you, but you have never said once what you've done to someone. It's all about what they've done to you or to me. The question is, what have you done? What is your false. And what he's trying to say is this. Log-eyed disease, this is a huge log. Right? It's huge. Kind of annoying. And Jesus is saying that you got a log in your eye, and the person you're trying to help has this. Let me find it on here. There you go, right there. Has a speck. Can you see this? But now, can you see this? Can you see it clearly? Now, can you see this? Oh, wow. So what Jesus is saying, we have more issues in our own life than other people. But we're so focused on other people's speck that we can't deal with our own issues. And so think about that. We focus more on the faults of others. And that's what the Pharisees did. They focused more on the faults of other people. They saw people, they saw what they did wrong, and not what they did right. He says, for the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged the same way. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Here's the thing. When you're critical to other people, always critical, guess what happens? It boomerangs. people become critical of you. You constantly critical of other people. And they say, well, what about you? It comes around. You begin to reap what you sow. Not only that, it says that you stand in the place of God without all the necessary information. When you have Logos disease, you don't have all the information. You're making judgments about people with all the necessary information. Remember I said you can't judge people's motivation? Sometimes we do that. I know why you did that. I know why you said that to me. No, you don't know why I said that to you. I can tell you why I said it. Well, I don't believe you. This is why you said that to me. Because then what you're saying, not only can I judge your action, I can judge your motivation. I know why you did that. You don't know. And sometimes we stand in the place of God about people, and we start judging people's motivation. And we start standing in the place of God without all the necessary information. So now we're overly critical of other people. We have to stop criticizing others and really focus on our own lives. You know what happens when we have Logos disease? Third thing is self-deception. We are deceived. How does a person deceive themselves? Because they see themselves and they think they're better than what they really are. And they begin to think they're better than the other person they're judging. That I'm better than that person. I am better than the person that I'm judging. I'm okay. God's okay with me. They're self-deceived. And you can be religious and you can be a Christian and still be self-deceived. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14 talks about a person who was self-deceived. You can come to church, come be in this church right now and be self-deceived. And Jesus tells a parable about this. There was a Pharisee and a tax collector. They both came to church, to the temple. They both came to pray. And they both did pray. But God had a different reaction to their prayers. So in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, here's what Jesus says about this prayer meeting. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. That's how you judge people. You believe you're righteous and treat other people with contempt. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now I want you to know, Jews hated tax collectors. They said that a tax collector was worse than a dog. Because a tax collector was a Jew who worked for the Roman Empire. And a tax collector made his money by collecting taxes for the Rome. And not only that, he made his money by not only collecting Rome taxes, but he would add a little extra to it. In other words, this. If Rome would have charged you 10%, I'm going to charge you 20%. Because I'm going to give Rome that 10%, but I'm going to get 10%. And you got to pay it because I got the Roman army behind me that you're going to give me the money either willingly or we're going to take it. And so Israel said, how could you be an Israelite and work for the enemy? So tax collectors were hated by the religious people. And this tax collector comes into the temple to pray. So here's a Pharisee, a religious person, who seemed from outwardly to love God. To the religious, they love God, they're being faithful to God. And when you saw the two, you said, that guy there, man, that Pharisee, man, he knows God. That tax collector, he needs God. He should be at the altar. But Jesus has a different take on it. They both came to pray. And look what it says the Pharisee prayed. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's what Jesus says about that. He says, I tell you this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. It says one left justified, and one was still condemned. The tax collector went home justified. The Pharisee didn't. Because the Pharisee would not humble himself and know that he needed the grace of God, just like the tax collector. And he didn't know that everything that he did was by the grace of God. Even though he fasted and he gave his tithes of all, it wasn't so that God would be pleased with him. But he did it for that reason. But the tax collector wouldn't even look up to God. He asked for mercy. And he recognized he was a sinner. And that's what God does for us. See, until you recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you will be self-deceived. And you believe, I'm okay. I'm not a bad person. I'm not like those people over there. I'm not like that guy who, that woman, they really need God. See, me, I'm a nice person. You're self-deceived. Because you're thinking your goodness is what makes God love you. You think, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not like other people. That's not what Christianity is. See, Christ didn't come to make, good people better. Christ came to save sinners. And that's all of us. And everyone in here has fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone in here is a sinner. So the good news is that everybody needs Jesus. And if you think you don't need Jesus, you are already self-deceived. You're saying, I'm okay. And you're going to stand before God and say, hey, I did okay. I had a good family, or I went to work. I tried to treat people right. And so, hey, that's not what it is. What you should ask for, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So law of God disease keeps us focused on other people, faults. We stand in the place of God without all the necessary information. And we are self-deceived. And we can't help people when we like that. And when we're like that, we can't build relationships. And we can't help people come to Jesus. Now this whole Matthew 7 verses 1 through 6 is seen in the context when Jesus says last week about worry-free living. We talked about when he says, but seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. When we're seeking God's kingdom first and we're worried about God's kingdom, then we're able to see, really, when we talk about God's kingdom, I said, what is the most important thing? What is dear to God's heart? What does he care about? He cares about people. And when I and when you seek God's kingdom, we will seek people. And we will see other people correctly. That's why we say love God and love people. You can't really love people unless you love God. Until you really love God. And if you love God, you will love people. But if you say you love God and you hate people, you don't love God either. You have to see God's kingdom and his will. And then you will see other people correctly, and you won't see other people's faults. You will see how we can build a bridge so they can come over and receive forgiveness from Jesus Christ. And that's what God does. So how do we see others correctly and stop criticizing? Point two is this. Look intently in the mirror of your own life. Look intently in the mirror of your own life. Look at verse 4 of Matthew chapter 7 when he says, or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your own eye when there's a log in your eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. How do we get a log out of our eye? How do you, when you get up in the morning, ladies, what do you do when you get up and before you walk out the house? You look in the mirror, right? Right? Some people are professional mirror lookers. You just look at it, you just stare at it. But anyway, you look in the mirror. Now, why do you look in the mirror, ladies? Why? What is it?
Make sure you look right.
Thank you for being honest. Make sure you look right. Make sure the hair is laid down and everything look tight. Make sure the face is looking right? And then you do this. You stay in the house, look at the mirror, make sure everything's right. You get in the car. Oh, the first thing you do when you get in the car, put a visor down, look in the mirror. I'm like, what happened from that living room to the car? I mean, there is no, I mean, the garage is down, there's no wind, and the temperature is just right, and you get right in the car and look in the mirror. I'm like, what just happened? Right? Y'all know the truth, ladies. I'm telling the truth, right? But we know how to look into a mirror. Men, we just glance in the mirror, we gone. I'm good, well, we going by business. But women, they're going to stare into the mirror. But it's good for us spiritually to stare into the mirror, right? Look intently in the mirror of your own life. Now, how does a person, a Christian, look into the mirror of their own life? What does that look? How do you do that? The mirror is this, the Word of God. And once you put your face into the Word of God, you begin to read it. And you begin to, once you read it, you begin to apply it to your own life first. You don't find a verse for somebody else. I need to share this with you. Don't be like the lady that came to church one time, preaching. I mean, he's preaching the word. I mean, he's letting them have it. And she walks up to the pastor and says this, "Ooh, pastor, that sermon was so good. You sure told them. You told them. Now, no, she didn't say. She didn't say, "You told us. You told them." She heard nothing for herself in that message. And some people like that. They come to church, "Ooh, man, you sure told them. Ooh, ooh. Man, he was on them today." Nothing for you? Nothing in there for you? No, not today. I'm good. He ain't preaching about me in a whole year. And your spouse is like, I think he just did. But anyway, this is what I'm trying to say to you. Get into the Word of God, apply the Word of God to your life, and you begin to look into the mirror. Here's how we focus more on examining your own life. Focus more on examining your own life vice other people. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test?" We should spend more time examining ourselves and less time examining others. We should spend more time testing ourselves than testing someone else. We can examine someone else's life and miss our own spiritual bankrupt. That we're the ones that really need to have issues. It's easy to see what someone else has done to us. It's hard for us to see what we've done to other people. The reason being, once again, the log and I. And what Jesus is saying, most of the time, what someone has done to us is like a speck. But what we have in our life is logs. And what he's saying really is that we need to spend more time. We got more issues in our life than we care to really admit. You got more stuff in your life. I got more stuff in my life that God wants me to deal with than worrying about your life. If I spend more time focusing on me, I spend less time focusing on you. If we really lived our life that way, and if I really spent more time focusing on my spiritual condition, then when I see you, I'm prone to give you more grace because I'm saying, man, I'm just as jacked up as you. And the reason why we don't give people grace in our lives, because we don't spend a lot of time examining our own stuff, and we really don't believe I am that messed up. I'm not that bad. And you know what? If you spend time with God, he will tell you your issues. And the reason why most relationships are not what they should be, because one or two of the people are not spending time in the mirror. They're looking at someone else and not looking at themselves. We don't see other people correctly. We don't see our friends correctly. We don't see our spouses correctly. Let's be honest with you, ladies. I mean, men and women. To be honest about this. When your spouse does something to you, you can recall it like that, can't you? I mean, you can tell me to the T. He did this, she did that, he said that, and he did it on this day, and they did that, and they hurt me.
10 years.
Take this home with you, brother. You're going to have to fight with this right here. No, I'm just, you know, about to defend yourself with this one. But that's true. It may be 10 years ago. But you, that's it's in you. But here's what you never hear them say. Hey, he asked them, hey, what did you do? Well, none. I ain't do none. So you're just a victim in all this. You had nothing to do with it. No. But think about that. We can see other people's faults and not see ours. And I believe that the reason why we don't see our friends or our spouses correctly, because we living in marriages with this in our eyes. And we won't let God move it. So that we see others correctly. And then we spent more time looking at people and looking at our spouses and more time letting the Holy Spirit work on our life and our attitude, we are prone to see our spouses correctly. And when we see our other people correctly, whoever it is, you know what we'll do? Let it be is this. We will show grace and mercy to others. And that's what the Pharisees didn't do. They did not show grace and mercy to anybody. They were all about, if you did it, you would be judged, and that was it. And you and I both know that we all have issues in our life, right? Everybody wants grace when we do something wrong, right? But we don't want to give it to other people. Everybody wants forgiveness. But we don't want to extend it to someone else because that person hurt me. Okay. So when we are able to see others correctly, we show mercy and grace. We all fall short in sin. We do. That's why Paul says this in Galatians chapter 6. When I'm able to spend more time in my own life, and when you do something or you fall short or you sin, here's what Paul says that we should do for one another. When we see each other with a speck in there. Have you ever had something in your eye? Man, I got something in my eye just bothering me. And then you come to somebody and say, hey, can you look in my eye? You did that to someone, you looking in there, and you want to be gentle, right? So you don't want to look somebody's eye and be digging in the eye, right? You want to be gentle and say, okay, let me see what's in there and blow it out. You want to be gentle. Here's how we're to be gentle with people. Galatians 6 says this, verse 1. It says, brothers or sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression or sin, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. That's powerful. That when you catch a brother or a sister in a sin, the key is not to criticize them. The key is not to condemn them. It is to first examine your own life, then you're able to go to them with meekness, with grace, and mercy and say, hey, let me help you get that speck out of your eye. That's what we need to do. We shouldn't go judgmental. We shouldn't go harsh to that person because you and I both know that God is dealing with us on some issues in our life right now. There's some issues that you have, some issues that I have. Because I know that, I'm able to give you grace and be gentle when I help you deal with the issues that come into your life. People are not willing to give grace and mercy when they don't recognize they have a log in their eye. And God is trying to deal with them in areas that they won't adhere to his word. And that's the problem with relationships. And we become accidental Pharisees because we're able to point out other people's faults. Spend more time in the word, examining your own life, and I guarantee you, God will talk to you more about you than about the other person. I guarantee you. Just try it. Say, God, search my heart and reveal to me what's in my heart that's not right in me. Now, do it on a weekend because you might not be able to go to work the next day. It could be a long list of stuff. But God only shows you those things not to condemn you, so he can conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, so he can use you. You can't be used with this in your eye. You're going to hurt somebody. You're going to hurt some people with this in your eye. And maybe, just maybe, there are people that God wants us to reach and we can't reach because we walk around with logs in our eyes. Our coworkers, we can't stand them. Hate them coworkers. But you got a log in your eye. And maybe God is saying, if you just get that impatience, that hypocritical, that overcritical spirit out of your life, that log out of your eye, then you're able to see that the person that you really don't like, he might have had marriage problems. His life probably is a mess at home. He's probably hurting. And hurt people hurt people. And maybe I want to use you to build a bridge and talk to him about me, but you see him as an enemy. You haven't prayed for him. You haven't tried to befriend him. That's why I got you at that job. See, many of us think God has us at our job just so we can work. That's it, just to make a living. Well, how are you going to reach people if you're not around people? How are you really going to reach people if you're not around people? And the problem that I've noticed that really has really affected the church is most Christians don't know how to deal with people outside the church. Well, most of us can't deal with church people, let alone people outside the church. Really, we don't know how to talk to people. We don't know how to relate to people. Jesus related to people. They didn't know. Do you know what was a famous tax collector that God used? Do you know what his name was? Matthew. I'm reading the Gospel of Matthew. He was a tax collector. People hated Matthew. They hated Matthew. And Jesus said, hey, Matthew, come follow me. And I'll make you a fisher of men. And Jesus had the nerve to go to Matthew's house for a barbecue. And Matthew invited all his tax collectors. And you know who was outside smelling the barbecue? The Pharisees. I can't believe he in there eating with them. Jesus is in there eating with those tax collectors. You know what happened? A lot of them got saved. Because Jesus said he didn't see them as tax collectors. He saw them as people made in the image of God. That's what I want to help you with. Not sometimes, you need to see that co-worker as made in the image of God, as somebody that needs Jesus Christ. That would help us show grace and mercy to people. Seeing people correctly is what we need to do when we take the log out of our own eye. And that's what Jesus says. Stop being a hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So my third point is this, and this is kind of like a little switch, but it all goes together. Verse 6 goes with verse 5, and it says this: do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to and attack you. Now, some of you are going to like this when I explain this. I like that. What Jesus said is this: when you see people correctly and you love it on people, you're able to share with them the gospel, able to correct things in their life that is wrong, respect. But he also says this: don't force things on people. Point 3, don't force the truth on others. Don't force the truth on others. Now here's what happens. You get saved, and everybody you meet, you want to share the gospel with. I mean everybody. Brother, you need to get saved. Sister, you need Jesus in your life. I mean, you talk to everybody. I mean, you just tell them. You just, hey, man, you need to get saved. And that's okay. But some people are not ready for that. Some people are not ready for that interaction like that. They're not ready. You're too forceful with it. You got to build relationships, then you share truth. See, people you meet, you don't even know them. You go, turn and burn, baby. Turn and burn. You're on your way to hell. but you don't even know them. How about saying good morning first? Hey, good morning, how you doing? Before you say you're going to hell. Good morning to you, how you doing? Now you're going to hell. No, don't say, don't do, no, no, don't, no, don't do none of that. Number don't force the truth on people. You want to share with people. But the key is that discernment is key. Say, well, where do you get discernment from? Well, Jesus says, do not give dogs what is holy. And do not throw pearls before pigs. Discernment is knowing who's a dog and who's a pig. Discernment is knowing when people are ready for the gospel and when they're not. Discernment is knowing people want you to talk to them when they don't. See, I'm on the case now. I want to reach the reachable. I want to teach the teachable. I don't want to antagonize people who ain't ready for it. I'm going to leave them alone. But there are people that are ready for the gospel. There are people on your job who are ready to hear what you have to say. You want to reach the reachable. But discernment is key. Not everybody will hear the truth. And Jesus used the analogy of a dog and a pig. In other words, these are wild dogs. These are dogs that are not house dogs. They are like ravenous dogs. They go around eating dead carcasses and things like that. And these are wild pigs. They are hungry pigs trying to get the food. And what Jesus is saying that when you're dealing with people, you need to know who are ready to hear the gospel and who is hostile to the gospel. And don't be up in their face if they're hostile to Jesus. You don't do that. Use discernment when you're talking to people. There's some people don't want to hear you got to say. They don't want to hear it. And you know they don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. All you can say to them is good morning and that's it. That's true. Use discernment in talking to people. He said, well, why should we use discernment? He says, because if you start talking to people about holy things, they may attack you. They may trample you. So use discernment. Letter A, B is this, know when to leave. Know when to leave people alone. Know when to leave the situation. Now, Jesus taught his disciples that when he told them to go out and share the gospel. He said, go two by two, enter a house, and say, peace be upon this house. Look what he said. He says, and whatever town or village you enter, find who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone would not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. And what he was saying to them, when you go, don't force me on anyone. If they don't want to hear you, shake the dust off. Like y'all say, shake it off and keep it moving. You got to have discernment and knowing who to talk to. And many of us don't have discernment. Really don't. There's some people in your family that don't want to hear from you about Jesus. And you keep talking to them about Jesus. They're not ready to hear it yet. Maybe if they saw more love coming from you, it'll soften their heart to want to hear something different about you. Right? But you can't be so antagonistic where they want to attack you. Know when to leave people alone. Know when to leave a situation. And that's what Jesus is saying. Know who's a dog, know who's a pig, but also know who's a sheep. Because he said he wants you to go and what? Find the lost sheep. Not try to go find a lost dog or bring a pig. We need to be discerning. But also that, let us see, is this. Be gentle and respectful when sharing the gospel. Be gentle and respectful when sharing the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Do you know that people will come up to you and ask you about your faith? I get it all the time. People just come up to you and talk to you. I was just at this Friday, minding my own business, teaching a class, going back to my office. And these two Marines, hey, I need to talk to you for a minute. I got a question for you. I'm like, sure. I think it's maybe it's like a job question. It's like talking, asking me about the Bible. You know, talking. I mean, it's a good conversation, asking about this and about that. And they were very, you know, engaging, and we talked about 30, 40 minutes, just sharing the gospel and talking about Jesus, and they're listening to it. Listen to the gospel. Maybe that's that friend that you think that you don't like. Maybe that coworker is watching your life, and something's going to happen. He's going to come to you and ask you, what's different about you? We all have some crazy people in our lives, family, friends. I told you about time that I told you about how God allowed me the opportunity to lead my father-in-law to Jesus Christ. And I told you how I told my wife that her father was not going to get saved. I told her he was going to hell. I mean, he was just that mean of a person. I mean, I'm being serious. I said, he just accept it. We're going to lose one. He's just that mean person, just treated my mother-in-law bad. Just, man, this guy just bad person. Alcoholic, cuss you out. And yet, he calls me on a Sunday and tells me, hey, how you doing? I'm like, hey, what's going on, Pops? Then I just want to call, I want to get saved. And I want you to lead me to Jesus. I'm like, what? So I asked him, are you going to die soon or are you going to jail? Which one is it? No, seriously, I thought, okay, he's going to jail. I need to get myself ready to tell Annette Pop's going to jail or he's going to die. So I didn't know what I could tell her when I got the phone. He said, no. I need Jesus in my life. I'm like, wow. So I asked him, I said, well, why'd you call me? He said, well, I've been watching you on the net when y'all got saved, and I see how you live your life, so I figured you knew about Jesus, so I figured I'd call you. I'm like, okay, cool. Now here I am, this guy, preach at this time. My father-in-law tells me he wants to get saved. Now we at this point are getting ready to go to church. I got to get ready to go preach in about, I think it's an hour, 30 minutes, so I've got to go. But I'm saying, hey, Pop, okay, I'm like, hey. So he tells me this. He said, listen, I know you got to go preach right now, but listen, call me back when you finish. Now, I'm so of little faith, I'm saying, hey, no, I don't want to hang up with you. Because I'm thinking if I hang up, what's going to happen? He's going to change his mind, right? So I'm like, no, that can wait. He said, no, just go to church. I'll be here when you get back. I'm like, you sure? Is she going to be here when I get back? I'm just like, man. So I go, man, I can't wait to get home. I'm talking to him, hey, see you later, I gotta go home. Hey, tomorrow. So I call him up. He's still just as calm. Yeah, I'm just sitting there waiting for you. I said, do you still want to get saved? Oh, yeah. I mean, but I'm thinking, you know, but it was a beautiful experience, really. Then she flies down and we help him find a church to get baptized. I mean, and I'm telling you, I would have thought to my, I told her, this guy is lost. And God says, oh, you a little faith. Here you are, a preacher of the gospel, and telling me who I can't save. And what I'm trying to say to you is just right here. What God was showing me, man, you got a log in your eye. Because if I can save you, why can't I save him? I'm telling you. But we have to be gentle and respectful when sharing the gospel with people. And there's people that God wants you to reach. But be gentle and respectful. It says, when they ask you, people are going to ask you what's different about you. And what God is trying to say to us is that he expects his disciples to be different. We should live in such a life that people have a question mark saying, what's different about that person? Why are they living like that? Why do they do that? Why are they not getting angry when everybody else has been angry? Why are they always smiling? Why are they always talking about, you know, life is good, God is good? What is going on? What is it about you? And that's when you're able to say, let me tell you about Jesus. With gentleness and respect, you share the gospel with people. But you can only do that, as Peter says, when you honor Christ the Lord as holy. And I'm afraid that for the body of Christ, we have not lived the kingdom life in such a way where our life begs a question. Why are you different? Why are you different? And people should look at us and ask the question, why are you different? And we say, Jesus Christ makes the difference. And when we see people correctly, we start by first seeing who we are in Jesus Christ and that we are unworthy of his grace and forgiveness, but he gave it to us. So how are we to hold people's sins against them, to be fault finders, to point the finger, to be mean, to be critical, when we ourselves need God's grace? And that's why he says, judge not, lest you be judged. Don't be critical of people to the point where you are condemning people, because condemnation belongs to God, not to us. God has not called us to be judge and jury. He's called us to be his disciples and to go and seek and save the lost. But we can't do that when we see people as the enemy. So, in my conclusion is this: Christians should be seen as loving others rather than being judgmental and condemning. See people as God sees them. And I hope that we're not using Matthew 7. That's not become the most quoted verse in the Bible. I pray that what we quote here in our church is John 3:16. That for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17 is even more powerful. Look what he says. It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Jesus did not live his life on earth condemning people. Matter of fact, really, he came to the condemned to set them free. And what John is saying, people without Jesus are already condemned. We all condemned without Jesus. That's why Jesus came, to set the captives free and to say, you are forgiven, you are free. And then we can do what Paul says and say in Romans 8, for now there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So today, let's start by seeing other people correctly. Let's start by seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Let's examine our own life first. Spend more time looking inwardly at yourself, not at your coworker, not at your spouse, not at your children, but at you. Because you know who needs prayer more than anything? Like the old song would say, I stand in the Lord, I'm in need of prayer. Not my mother, my brother, but it's me, Lord, in the need of prayer. You need more prayer than the person you're praying about. You really do. So if you're here today, I want you to know that God sees you correctly. He sees you so much, and he cares for you, that he sent Jesus Christ to die for you. He sees you, and he loves you. So may you not leave here today with a wrong view of yourself, but a right view, that I am loved and valuable to God, and that God came for you. So if you're here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ, we encourage you. We're sinners who've been saved by the grace of God. And we want you to know Jesus too. And all you got to do is do what the tax collector did. It was simple. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He recognized who he was, and he went to the one who could give him the healing. And until you recognize who you are, a sinner, you'll never come to the Savior. And that's the biggest problem why most people don't come to Jesus. They don't believe they're a sinner. They don't believe they're a sinner. I'm a good person. Christ didn't come for good people. He came for bad people to tell them about a good God. So let's pray. And I want us to do business with God today. If you're here today and you probably hear me do this every Sunday, because I don't want to assume that everybody here knows Jesus, because everybody may not. but I want you to know that God loves you and cares for you. And he's praying for you that you may come and know him. And we're praying for you. God's salvation is free. So I want to pray for you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, that you would surrender your life to him. So God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. So Father, I thank you for everyone here. And I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts, to our minds, that we may know, God, that you love us and you care for us, and that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives, and the purpose is first for us to know you. And I pray, God, that if there's someone here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ, that they would surrender their life to you, where they can find freedom and forgiveness. A new life that's only given by your grace and your mercy. So maybe that's you today. Maybe you haven't really said those words. You never said, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. You've never made a declaration to God saying, I need Jesus. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. So if you've never done that before, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, right where you are, if you say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus, I want to declare that I need mercy. So if you're here today, right where you are, raise your hand and we will pray for you. Say, you know what? That's me. I need the mercy of God in my life. I know that I can't do any good to make God love me, but I come trusting him. So if that's you, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you, pray with you. We don't want no one to leave here without Jesus. Maybe you are a Christian, but you know that you have a log in your eye. You have that log eye disease I talked about. And maybe God has showed you the symptoms. He said, yeah, that's me. It's easy for me to find fault with others. I make judgments about people without having all the information. I've been self-deceived. But I come here today and I had eye surgery. The log has been removed. And I can see clearly now who I am and what God would have me to do. And I see people correctly. So maybe that's you and you say, I need prayer, that God would help me keep the log out of my eye. If that's you, we're going to pray for you also. I see that hand. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. I see those hands. I stand before you today. I need to have eye surgery too in my life to keep those logs out. So I pray for all of us. Thank you for being truthful and to raise your hand. So Father, I thank you for your word. And thank you, God, for the correction that your word brings, that you love us so much, that you tell us the truth. So, Father, I pray that you will help us to keep the log out of our eyes, that we will always examine ourselves first before we criticize, before we judge other people. God, speak to us. May we live a life that glorifies you. And may we too be able to extend grace and mercy to other people, because we so desperately need it. We stand before you, God, in need of prayer. We bless you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.